Thank you very much, Reb Reuven. And good evening and happy Mother's Day. You know, the Torah says, Tisprul Chamishim Yom. Supposed to count 50 days up to Shavuos. How many do we actually count? 49. Why is that? Why would the Torah say count 50 and we only count 49? There's obviously a message there. You know, if we only count 49, why is it 50 days? That's one question I want to throw out. Another question it's just an observation to be amazed by. You know that this 50 days, that's the date of Shavuos. Shavuos does not have a calendar date. Never says in the Torah what day of Sivan it is. It only says 50 days. So the Gemara tells us, you know, back in the good old days when we used to be Mekadosh al Piriyah, you know, used to declare the Rosh Chodesh when Adam would come and testify to the new moon. So Shavuos could move. Sometimes it was as early on the calendar as the 5th of Sivan, because if you would have a two-day Rosh Chodesh Iyar and a two-day Rosh Chodesh Sivan, so the 50th day would come out on Hey Sivan. Or in some years, it would have one day Rosh Chodesh Iyar, one day Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It would come out as late as the 7th of Sivan. The reason why it always works out as the 6th of Sivan for us is because we have a set calendar and there's a two-day Rosh Chodesh Iyar and a one-day Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It's an amazing thing. You know, come out on a different calendar date every year and it's still Shavuos. It's something to think about. It's like, there's no other chag like that. Right? In the Pirkei Avos that we read, so in this upcoming perek, which is always the six Shabbos that we have, you know, six Shabbosos between when we start the Omer and Shavuos, and parallel to each one, we have one of the Pirkei Avos, and by no coincidence, the sixth perek is it's Perekinyan Torah. The whole topic of that last perek of Pirkei Avos is acquiring Torah. So amongst the famous Mishnayos there is that the Torah nicknames b'memches dvarim, Torah is acquired with 48 traits. There are 48 traits that the serious student has to have if he really wants to acquire Torah. So the Svarim of Chassidus and Musar tell us that that's parallel to the days of the Omer. There's 48. Was 49 days. The 49th day you review everything that you learned. You know, you review the first 48. And I'm not kidding. No, this is in bona fide Svarim. You know, it sounds like... Sounds like a cop-out. You know, you should have 49 ways to be kind of Torah. Can I get every day of the Yom actually count? Should it be 50? Because Torah is given on the 50th day, right? And it's 48, and the 49th is for review. All right, something which needs to be understood. So, one more question. A couple more questions. About this issue of Matan Torah. So first of all, it's called Matan Torah, Chag Matan Torah Sein. Why don't we call it Chag Kabbalas HaTorah? Right? We're happy that we received it, right? So festival of having received the Torah, why is it called Chag Matan Torah Sein? Why is the emphasis on the giving? Right? Another question. Right? Torah was given 26 generations after the world was created. Right? The door of Moshe Rabbeinu, that generation is 26. You count 26. And Chazal tell us that in the Halal HaGadol, the Kapitel Tehillim, that's the Kilom Chasto, 26, there are 26 Kilom Chastos, Keneged, parallel to the 26 generations that the world didn't have Torah. So the world did not have the right to exist, really, because as Rashi tells us, on the very word, Bereishis, Bishul HaTorah, Nikreis Reishis, HaKadosh created the world for the Torah. So the world did not really have a right to exist until the Torah was finally given 26 generations later. So for 26 generations, the world was ki le'olam chasto. The whole world was standing on divine kindness, pure divine kindness, because there was no way to earn our right to exist. So here's the question. Why did it wait so long? Right, there's some superstars that we had in the course of our history, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They would have loved to have the Torah. Not only that, everyone knows Rashi, Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoili, Rashi brings the Chazal, that Avram Avinu kept all the mitzvahs. He always kept the mitzvahs voluntarily. I mean, not always. You know, why did Yaakov marry two sisters? All right, there's a great deal of discussion about that. But Chazal tell us that the Avos kept Torah. They would have loved to have the Torah. And we know, everyone knows the famous Chazal, He who is commanded, who has the obligation to do it, it's a greater merit than the one who does it voluntarily. So why did God deny the avos, you know, the opportunity to be mitzuva va'osa, to be commanded in the Torah? He left it up, you know, for them it was voluntary. They would have loved to have it. They would have had, loved to have the obligation. And Rebbe Shlom still didn't give them the Torah. Delayed it for another four generations, right, or so, till Moshe Rabbeinu. What? Why was the Torah denied to the avos? It's something to think about that, you know, we do the Omer every year. Now, we can understand why the Jews leaving Egypt had to do the Omer, right, because they were coming from the Memtes Sharei Tumah, 49 gates of impurity. So it makes sense, 49 days of the Omer, each day to, you know, get out of another aspect of impurity. And the Zohar says this, it's a famous Zohar, that the you know, the 7 weeks of the Omer are stand parallel to like the 7 days a woman has to count, you know, before becoming pure for her husband. You know, the Am Yisrael is impure, and they had to purify during the Omer. I get it. That was that year where they were coming out of the impurity of being in Egypt. But what about every single year since? Right? We're a chosen nation. We got the Torah ready. We already have it. Right? So we're worthy. We already have the Torah. Why do we have to count the Omer again? What's the idea in that? Right? Not coming out of Egypt. You know, we're coming off last year's Shavuos. Why? All over again. What are we purifying ourselves from? So I want to preface, you know, with a seemingly side question. And, you know, everyone knows that a basic tenet in Judaism, you know, which the Ramchal, you know, made the whole Jewish people aware of in his various svarim, the Derech Hashem, the Das Tfunas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to bestow goodness. He wanted to be kind, you know, and give Olam Haba, the ultimate goodness, which is Dveikus in him. But in order for the goodness to be complete, it shouldn't be Nahama de Kisuv, it shouldn't be bread of shame. You know, charity is, you know, this is a different, right? Once upon a time, charity was embarrassing. People didn't want handouts. Right, it was considered to be subhuman, right? So the Rebbe Shlom didn't want it to be a handout because it wouldn't be. You wouldn't feel proud of yourself. You wouldn't be able to stare the Shechina in the face proudly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us work for it. Right? That's we do mitzvahs, and now we're really bale, as in the words of Ramchal, bale atovahu. We are the rightful owners of the goodness that we get. We earned it, and we have the satisfaction of a job well done. So we have the divine pleasure, and we feel that we. It's coming to us, and we could look the Shekhinah proudly in the face. So here's the question. What the eternal reward that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for our mitzvahs, it's forever. Olam Haba is forever. Now, how long does it take to do a mitzvah? Any mitzvah. You take a lulav on Sukkos, and you even spend money. You took it a matana manas lachzer from someone who did spend money, right? You just took it from him as a matana manas lachzer, shake the lulav and all there, takes a minute flat. Right? You're going to get schar nitzchi, you get eternal reward for that. When on the job market, how much would you pay a person to wave a palm branch in all different directions? If you paid him $5, he's overpaid, right? So this is supposed to be the big answer. Right, the big answer that it's all mida keneged mida, right? And everything that we get is justifiably earned. Everything's justly earned. How? The math doesn't work out. How is it mida keneged mida that you do a mitzvah, you know, in a very, you know, limited time, limited effort, and for that you get an eternal reward? How's it work? How is it not a handout? It's like, you know, there's you know, there. It's hard to see how it's literally measure for measure. The idea is like this: that the Torah that we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, it's not just a list of dictates, right? If it would just be a series of instructions, you wouldn't need a whole Ma'amad Har Sinai. You ever think about that? You know, all that drama, right? Kolos Uvrakim, Ahara Ashen. What was that all about? Just tell us the instructions. Right? So the pasuk says, "Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai." Of course, we went down Har Sinai. Says Rashi, "Hirchin el yoinim al tachtoinim." Right? There was a dimensional bend. The higher realms were bent, right, and superimposed, you know, on top of the lower realms. Hirchin el yoinim al tachtoinim. Now, what does that mean? The idea is like this, right? As the Gemara points out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addressed us and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So Gemara says, Anochi Nutrikun. Anochi is an acronym. It stands for Ana Nafshoi Kasvis Yavis. HaKadosh says, I took myself, I wrote myself down, I gave myself over. What does that mean? Shad right. Is you know, that the Torah, you know, it's God's will. Right? And it's God's word. Right? And just like the Ribon Shalom is infinite, he's of infinite power. Right? So also, anything about him, his will, right, his word, is infinite. Yeah. Take a look. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehi Or. He said it once, in an instant. There's still light outside. Right? So the Medrash Shochet Tov says that that's what it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Le'olam Hashem, Devorcha Nitzav Basharan. It's a Pasuk in Tehillim. Forever Hashem, your words stand in heaven. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, it never, that dibur never stops. And the Medrash says, that's why there's still light outside. It should have been as soon as those words ceased that the light would get extinguished. Those divine words was holding the light in existence. The word stops, the light should stop. Right? The deep over here, Akiyah B'Sochamayim, the sky should just fall. Right? The waters, Eliyahu, just come crashing down, the Mayim Tachtonim, the Akiyah B'Sochamayim. Why is there still, what's holding up the waters? The Mayim Elyonim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu split to make room for reality. The Ribbono Shel Olam's words never stop. Lo'olam Hashem, Devorcha Nitzav B'Shamayim, the pasuk means to say. Right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power and that anything, his will, his word, it's forever and ever and ever. Right? And his will and his word, you know, it is what's called the Torah. Right? That istako b'raiso b'ra'am, the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did at the time of creation was to first project the Torah. And that Torah is of infinite power because it's his will, it's his word, and that's what the whole of reality is weaved out of. By matan Torah, it's not the pshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you what it says in that Torah in heaven. Right? That's if Torah would have been conveyed by a prophet, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like subsequently, after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu made the trips up and down to Har Sinai, and then he used to go into Ol Moed, get the information, tell us, but that was all after Ma'amad Har Sinai. Right? Ma'amad Har Sinai did an amazing thing, that it's not the pshat, right, that Torah's in heaven, and some prophet tells us what's written in that Torah up there. No. That Torah itself, with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned reality, the thing itself that stands on top of the totem pole of reality, came down. And we're talking about infinite power. Infinite power came down. And the whole, you know, Tadaram, you know, of Ma'amad Har Sinai, that people, you know, Gemara says, Nafshi Yotza B'Dabro, the Pasuk says, right, in Shir Hashem, my soul went out with you when he spoke. That refers to Matan Torah. Oh, Am Yisrael dropped dead. They couldn't take the intensity of the experience, and the Torah brought them back to life. Right? That the intensity of Matan Torah was, there was Hirchin Elyonim al Tachtonim. We're talking about that the Torah, God's will, that's in the highest place in heaven, changed position and came down to earth. That's what it is. Matan Torah wasn't about telling us about what's written in the Torah in Shemayim, black fire and white fire. The thing itself came down. It was like a dimensional warp that what belongs in the highest realms came down to us. We're dealing with infinite power. Right? The thing itself, the Torah itself, that's what it means, the Gemara that we quoted. Hashem says, as if I took myself, I wrote myself down, I gave myself an ana nafshoi kasvis yavis. It means to say the Torah is God's will. Right? His will. He put that will in writing and gave it over. That's what it means. Matan Torah. Torah was given. Right? You know, we weren't informed about Torah. Right? Torah was literally given. Right, this thing that is, you know, God's will, the thing itself, came down. We're dealing with infinite power. That's what we're talking about. Right? And that's why, when you do a mitzvah, you get eternal reward. Infinite reward. right? Because the power that you're playing with, for lack of a better word, the power that's involved, so it took you only a minute, but you're executing a directive of the Torah. And the Torah is of infinite power. You get a response from infinite energy, right? And that's why the reward is infinite, because that's the power you're, for lack of a better word, you're working with. You're working with infinite power when you do a mitzvah. So even though, you know, to the unschooled eye, the whole mitzvah took a split second and didn't take too much effort, but the power behind that action is the Ribbono Shel Olam's word of infinite power. There's infinite power invested in that action. And that's why it gets an infinite reward. It gets a response that's infinite, because that's the amount of power that there is in a mitzvah. But that's because of Matan Torah. And really, that's what it means, the Ramchal, that we quoted before, in his Sefer, Das Furnas, you know, explaining the Chazal that we quoted just a few minutes ago. Gadol mitzvah v'oseh, mimisha eino mitzvah v'oseh. Now, why is that true? That the one who has the command, he's greater than the person who does it voluntarily. It's counterintuitive. The guy who does it voluntarily is a real, really great guy, right, that decided to do it even though no one's forcing him. The guy who does it because he's commanded, he has to. He doesn't have a choice. So why is Gadol mitzvah v'oseh? Why is that? So says the Ramchal, this idea. Right? Because the one who has the command has infinite power in that action. Because the divine command that makes him do this action, that puts divine power. The command gives him the authorization, not just the authorization, but the power to refashion reality with this action. The one who never got the tzivui, never got the divine command, doesn't have that divine power in his action. So of course there's a level of reward for wanting to serve, you know, voluntarily, but there isn't that type of power in the action itself, because it was never mandated, right, by the infinite force of the Torah. But the one who has the tzivui, that the dibur of Hashem is addressing him and telling him, he has that divine power in that action. And Ramchal says in that same place, right, that that's exactly what happened at Ma'amad Har Sinai. What happened was that we became, Torah changed its position, and we became obligated to do the mitzvahs, right? And that obligation to do the mitzvahs now made us world shapers and made us able to, also for ourselves, earn eternal reward, because there's infinite divine power in our actions. With this, he explains the probably one of the most cryptic lines in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. There's a, Il kirvanu lefnei har Sinai v'lo nasan lanu es ha-Torah dayenu. Why would you go to Har Sinai if you don't get the Torah? If they've gone to Har Sinai, not gotten the Torah, that would have been enough. What do you go there for? Well, it's Dayenu, would have been enough. Right? So Ramchal says like this, right? It's not talking about, you know, going to Har Sinai for nothing. Right? It means you go to Har Sinai for Ma'amad Har Sinai, right? Just for that event. Right? Even if subsequently Moshe Rabbeinu would have not taught us the Torah in detail. The Torah was taught to us in detail in the course of the next 40 years in the desert, right? All the details. But just coming to Har Sinai, Ma'amad Har Sinai, just made us put on this level that whatever we do, you know, to serve Hashem has divine power in it. That's what we got from Ma'amad Har Sinai. Then subsequently, not only is the Torah, it's in the information of Torah or the detailed instructions that was taught to us over the 40 years in the desert. But at Har Sinai, right, we were drawn close. We were made HaKadosh Baruch Hu people. We're his men. We're in his cabinet because he put his word on us. Ushmeinu karasa b'shmecha, God called us by his name. So Kirvanu lefnei Har Sinai, says Ramchal, runs parallel to what we say in Shacharis every day, you know, the bracha right before Kriya Shema, v'keraftanu l'shimcha hagadol. Drawn close to the great dry name. That's Kirvan from Har Sinai. The Baal HaGadol is alluding to that line in davening that by Ma'amad Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the power of his infinite Torah upon us. Right? Torah is, we're dealing with infinite power. And that's why our mitzvahs refashion reality. Right? That, you know, as the Nefesh HaChaim teaches us in Shaar Aleph, when we do a mitzvah, you're not just, you know, racking up points, but what you're actually enjoying in Olam Haba. What is your Chelk Olam Haba? How you changed the world with that mitzvah, you improved, you optimized reality, you brought new spiritual energy. You know what your Chelk Olam Haba is weaved out of? It's weaved out of all those achievements that you made in changing the world They're all collated, and that's your chelkol amaba. You actually really, really enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's really, it's not that, you know, I work for it and you cash in what you work for olam haba. No, no, no. Your olam haba is what your mitzvahs actually produced. And that's the secret of what the Mishnah says in Avos. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah, va'avera goreres avera, sheschar mitzvah mitzvah, v'schar avera avera. For the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. It says a mitzvah pulls you to do another mitzvah. An avera pulls you to do another avera, God forbid. That the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. In a world of avera and avera, what does that mean? How's the Mishnah not repeating itself? No. It's saying, you know, aside from the fact that mitzvahs have a positive influence on you, to cause you to do mitzvahs, but also schar mitzvah mitzvah, you should know that the reward of the mitzvah is the how the mitzvah changed the world, because there's divine power mitzvah, that's your schar. That's what you enjoy. Your chelkol amaba is literally everything that you achieved, right? You know, becomes your portion of olam haba. It's not that you turn in your cash in your mitzvahs for olam haba. Your mitzvahs, because they're done with this infinite energy, change the world forever and ever, and that is your eternal reward. And that's all mikoch Ma'amad Har Sinai. Ma'amad Har Sinai made that possible. If not for Ma'amad Har Sinai, so we would be informed about what it says in the Torah, right? But we wouldn't have the power of the Torah itself. Ma'amad Har Sinai is about putting the Torah itself in us, dude, with infinite power. So here's the catch. My Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Parshas Vracha, used to say, right? There are many answers to this question. Why didn't the Avos get the Torah? Right? But one of the many answers is that Torah is infinite, right? And it's meant to be a bris olam, a eternal covenant, right? It's, you know, it's the kasher between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forever. We're forever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never exchanges for another nation. It's forever, right? We're talking, because that's what you're doing with Torah, the essential power, you're doing infinite, talking about forever. Right? You can't make a bris olam with individuals. You can't make an eternal covenant with someone who's here today and gone tomorrow. You need to wait till you have an am, you have a nation. Right? You have a nation, right? So then you're dealing with a corporate entity. Right? The Gemara says about a korban tzibur, you know, it's just a give a little bit, a moment of background. All right, if a person's chayef chatas, a person's mechal Shabbos, b'shogeg, God forbid, he has to bring a chatas. Person dies before you have a chance to bring the chatas on the altar. You can't be makriv. You cannot sacrifice him. The owner that's supposed to get kapor has to be alive. All right, but the Gemara says a korban tzibur, a korban that belongs to the tzibur, you know, the public, there's no such thing. Even if that whole generation would die, all right, and be replaced, you know, by the next generation, you could still bring that carbon. Ein tzibur mason. A public can't die. Because when you deal with a public, it's not just that generation. It's all the generations. A corporate entity, an am, a nation, is an entity that includes all the generations from the beginning to the end. So it incorporates Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and it's all the doris until Melech HaMashiach. Right? A bris olam has to be made with a nation. Can't be made with individuals. So as great as the Avos are, the Ribbono Shel Olam could not give them the Torah. You know, the Torah is too big for an individual to hold. The only kli, the only receptacle that's big enough for a Torah, which is forever and infinite, is a nation. Because a nation is an entity that includes all the generations combined. All the Doros that are before us, all the Doros that will come after us, all part of the same Am. And that's what it means. Everyone's heard. We were all at Sinai. All the Neshamas were at Har Sinai. You've heard that Chazal. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Pasuk, you know, Es Asheri Neno Po Imanu Hayom." Even those who aren't born yet are here with us today. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Nitzavim, because Torah was given to a nation. It's all the generations ever will be. Talking infinite power. So the only kli, the only vessel that's big enough for, yeah, the Torah is a nation. Can't be given to individuals. Someone should have asked. Wasn't Adam Rishon supposed to get the Torah? Why didn't anyone ask that? All right. That the Eitz HaChaim, wasn't the Eitz HaChaim Torah? All right, fine. You should have asked that. Right. Right, the answer is like this. Adam Rishon was immortal. He was meant to live forever. So the question, he can't do a bris with an individual. It's here today and gone tomorrow, that the problem didn't exist. Right. But once the problem came into existence, right, he ate from the Eitz HaDas, so what does the Pasuk say? Right? Pen yishlach yodo v'acha v'chayla oilam, lest he eat for the Yetzer, can't have the Yetzer Dasim born. Of course, who set up the Lada Chevra Mitzah Peches, right? You know, the angels with the flipping flaming sword to bar the way, the Yetzer Chaim. That's right. When he became mortal, right, he became an individual, he'll be here today and gone tomorrow, he couldn't have the from the Yetzer Chaim anymore. He could have had the Torah when he was immortal, he would have lived forever. When he lost that level, he was barred from Torah. Now, the only thing with mortality in the world, the only thing that's big enough for Torah, with, if people are here today and gone tomorrow, the only thing big enough for Torah is a nation. Right? And that's what it means. Vayichan Yisrael, keneged ahar, ki ish echad b'lev echad, they're all like united, because a nation is the only thing that's big enough for a Torah. Right? Because a nation is a something that will last, could last, till the end of time. Right? It's the only thing big enough for a Torah. So now, once you realize that, you know, that Matan Torah was about that Rebbe Shem gave the essence of his will over to us. Right? And that's why the whole fanfare of Har Sinai was necessary. There's an amazing dimensional warping that something that's on the highest tip of reality came down to us and became, you know, the legacy of the Jewish nation. Only the nation is big enough to hold it. You're dealing with infinity. If I take a million steps, you know, I'll take one step towards infinity, and I'll take a million steps towards infinity. Am I any closer to infinity after a million steps? What? No. It is, you know, infinitely away. It's infinitely away. Right? So when you understand that the idea of the 50th day is not just 49 plus 1, right? It's infinitely more. The 50th day. Now the question is why even call it the 50th day, and we'll get to it in a second. Right? But that 50th day, right, it's not just one more day. It seems like just one more day ahead, but it's not. It's infinitely ahead. And that's why it's not counted. You can't count it. Because it's not 49 plus 1. It's 49 plus infinity. Can't be counted. You could count, you know, units. Finite units could be counted and be added together. The infinite can't be counted. Torah that we got on the 50th day is, it's infinite. It can't be counted, can't be quantified. Right? And this is also played out by the Hakubola. So that's not just in time that you're only supposed to count 49 out of 50, but you know, you're supposed to stop the count before because you can't put Torah into the count because the Torah is beyond count. Right? But also in space, what was the halacha? By Maamon Har Sinai, there was the Hagbola, the Gbaltim Esahar. They had to stay away from the mountain. The mountain was off limits. Right? To show, you know, the Torah is infinitely away. It'd be so close, and yet it's infinitely away. And that was the din of the Hagbola, the Gbaltim Esahar. It was just perfectly palatable to the idea that we can't count the 50th day, you can't touch the mountain. Right, but with this, you can understand that Shavuos, an amazing holiday that commemorates the giving of the Torah is infinite, right? That Shavuos doesn't have to be on the same calendar date every year, right? You know, the Kedusha of the other Chagim, right? A definite Kedusha, specific, and happens at a specific time. Happens at a specific time, it has to be on that calendar date, right? And Shavuos, we pointed out, has no calendar date, you know, and in the old days, you never knew what, you know, until the year came, you didn't know which date Shavuos would be on, because it depends when the Adam came to sanctify the new noon, like we said. And it's all still the Shavuos. It's the same Shavuos, whether it comes out the fifth day of Sivan, the sixth day of Sivan, the seventh day of Sivan. Because right? Shavuos is, you know, if we talk about infinite power, it's beyond time. It makes no difference. Whenever the 50th, which represents infinity, comes out, that's when Shavuos is. Right? It's not a specific Kedusha that's within time. We're talking about the Torah itself. Right? There's a lot more to say about this. Right? So we have to understand, you know, right, how we can get, you know, to the infinite. Right? But now you understand why we have to do Omer every year. You know, Matan Torah never stopped. Right? Because even if in one grand moment, in those days, all those years ago, the Rebbe Shem changed the fact that Torah no longer belongs in the highest heavens, now it belongs on earth. right? Much to the chagrin of the angels, you know, they wanted it for themselves, as you know. And of course, you know, but that was like changing where Torah belongs. Has Torah ever stopped being given? We make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, no sein HaTorah, present tense. Never stopped being given. It's still being given. How long does it take to give something that's infinite? Forever. It takes forever to give. The process started at Ma'amad Har Sinai. And the process is ongoing and ongoing. Don't you understand? This is the secret of the vitality of Judaism. If the Torah would have been this thing that could be given in one instant, you know, relevant to an ancient civilization, you know, of back then, right? Torah would have been long irrelevant by now. Torah would have been long forgotten. Judaism would have lost its vitality centuries ago. And it's alive. And there's new Chidushei Torah in every generation. We have new shilas that arise that our forefathers never faced, and we find a response in the Torah to address it. All right, it's work. We've got to pull out, you know, from the precedents. We've got to pull out the applications. But it works. Right? Torah's expanding. Torah's expanding. Right? And it's alive. It's not something that was. It's something that is. Right? Famous halacha. Right? I'm sure he once heard. Rashi brings in Chumash. It's actually learned out from something historically that happened, you know, this week, right? Bayom Hazeh, it says in Parshas Yisroel, Bayom Hazeh bo Midbar Sinai. On this day, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they came on Midbar Sinai. So Rashi brings the Chazal. It should say Bayom Hahu, on that day. Why Bayom Hazeh, this day? That Shebechol Yom Yu Beinecha Kechadoshim, Torah to be perpetually new in your eyes, as if today is the first day you got it. That's why present tense. Yom Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. Right. Now, it's very interesting that the remez to this is by when they came to the desert, which is almost a week before Matan Torah. And we'll discuss that in a second. But I just want to discuss what it means. What does that mean? Every day should be like new. What do you mean? Well, I'm supposed to deceive myself that I didn't see this yesterday, that I didn't hear this before. The truth is like this. Torah is perpetually new. It's still being given. It never stopped being given. How can you give something that's infinite within a finite amount of time? It's still coming down perpetually. Like we make the bracha, nosin Torah, you know, in present tense. You know what your problem is? Not you. My problem. You guys are good. Me. Problem with me. Right? When I look at a Daf Gemara today, the same Daf Gemara I saw yesterday, and it looks the same. You know what the problem is? Because I'm looking at it today with yesterday's eyes. I'm not, sadly, open enough to reevaluate that there could be new meanings that have come down today that, you know, we're still in the process of delivery. You know, they weren't here yesterday yet. Right? But the problem is you think you know it all. You think you know it all. So you look at it today with the old perceptions that you had, so of course it looks the same. You have to be open to perpetually reevaluating, and then you'll see it never gets old. There's always more and more and more to see. It's amazing. Right. And where is the Remez at? Bayom Hazeh, Bo Midbar Sinai. On this day they came to the desert of Sinai. Right. So there's another thing Chazal learned out from there. En divrei Torah niknin ela misha mesim atzmo kemidbar. Torah is only to be acquired by someone who views himself as desolate. See, that's the problem. We think we know it all. You think you know it all, you're not open to anything new. Right? You have to view yourself like a desert. Wide open space. Hakol Dashimba. Nothing's concretized. Nothing's built up. Nothing's finished. If you're Mesim Atzmo Kamidbar, so you could have the other drush of Chazal Bayom Hazeh, thing will always look new. And that's why Chazal tell us this when they came to the desert. You have to make yourself like a desert, and that's part of what the Torah was hinting to us by giving the Torah in the desert. You have to view yourself as never being finished, never being a finished product. And then if you have, you'll be open to the eternal newness of the Torah. Because we're talking about infinite power. And it's like I said, it's the secret of the vitality of the Jewish people. We haven't lost our vitality, even centuries and centuries, almost 3,000 years since Matan Torah. And the religion is alive and well. For those who practice it, those who care about it, it's alive and well. Fully vital. Right? With new ideas. Right? There is new things to see in Torah that our predecessors did not see, not for any shortcoming, because it just wasn't time yet, because it's still being given. And every generation has to be ready, you know, to receive more. And that's why we have to go through the Omer every single year, right? Matan Torah wasn't an event that was and, you know, is done and over with. It's perpetually happening, but there are specific special stations in time, right, where the process particularly renews itself, right? There's a new giving of the Torah every year. And this is something only the Ribbono Shel Olam could do, right? That only the Ribbono Shel Olam could give the Torah, right? Torah is not out there for the taking, right? The Torah is, we're talking about infinite energy, right? Infinite power from the highest places in heaven, right? It's something that only the Ribbono Shel Olam could do. It's up to him, right, to continue to give. And that's what Chag Matan Torah Seinu. We put the emphasis on the giving, not on the receiving, right? Because it's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam to constantly continue this process of continuously giving and giving and giving of this infinite Torah. Right? So there's always more to purify ourselves, right? To be ready for another level of Torah to be given. And then to next year, purify ourselves even more for another level of Torah to be given. Right? But here's the catch, right? So as we explain why we have to keep the Omer every single year, because there's more to see that you weren't able to see last year in this infinite Torah. So just go through, purify yourself even more. Right? But when you come to, you know, the 50th day, right? We say that day can't be counted. Right? But even as far as steps to take, right? The steps end at 48. We run out of steps when there's one step left to take, 49. It's like 49 we admit we could take, 50th you can't take. Right? So that's why we don't count the 50th. Right? But we run out of steps after 48. And we say the 49th day is to review everything you learn. What does that mean? It's a very big idea here. Right? And if you follow the midas of the spheres, if anyone says the Ribbono Shel Olam at the end of Sefiras HaOmer, you know, the mida of the day, the 49th day, which is the day that Am Yisrael said Naaseh V'Nishma. They said it on Erev Shavuos. All right. So that 49th day, the midah of that day is called Malchus Sheba Malchus. You know, what does that mean? All right. The midah of Malchus is to be Mekabel Ol Malchus. It means to be accepting. Accepting of the yoke. You know, accepting of the responsibility. That's why on that day, the 49th day of the Omer, Hey Sivan, right? They said Naaseh V'Nishma. They accepted upon themselves to uphold and do their best subsequently after upholding, you know, unconditionally to uphold and then to understand as best as they can. Right. That's not forfeit. That's not an act of futility. That's real work. Nefesh HaChaim tells us a very interesting idea that we're taught that all the different layers of reality are interconnected. And the most bottom layer of a layer of reality become like links of a chain, goes through the top. The bottom of one level goes through the top of the level beneath it. Reality is set up like a chain. That's what it says in the Zohar. Right? The lowest aspect of one level becomes the highest aspect of the level beneath it, interlinked like chains. Like the bottom of the chain above goes through the top of the chain, the link beneath it. And this is called in Kabbalah, you know, the secret of Keser Malchus. If you know, we don't have to go this in depth, but let's just a simple statement of facts. Everyone knows. If you've been following Pirkei Avos, the parak we just read, Asar Ma'amar Snivra Olam. Right? We just learned that. By Bereishis, right? 10 utterances from Bereishis through, you know, till the end of Maisa Bereishis, 10 utterances. And those 10 utterances, Chazal, you know, the Zohar tells us, they're what we call the 10 spheres. What the Mishnah calls Ma'amaros, right, the Mekubalim calls spheres. There's certain sets of 10, you know, of energies that make up any whole set. And that's the secret, by the way, that all humanity counts by base 10. It all comes b'mesara from Adam Rishon, that Basar Ma'amaros Nivra Olam. The highest level, the beginning, is Keser, right? The crown, right? The bottom level is Malchus, right? And it's at the bottom of the chain, and it receives, And that's what it means to be mekabel, O Malchus Shemayim. You accept upon yourself, you know, the obligation. It's at the bottom. You know, guy in the bottom has to accept upon himself, you know, the dictates that are being dictated from him from on top. Right? But we say that this Malchus of any level becomes the Kesser of the level beneath it, right? Of the new series that starts beneath it. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, right? Kesser, right, is the midah of Rotzon. Right, that's what we mean, will. Chazal tells us, if you have a real ironclad will, nothing can stop you. Right, and that's what my Rebbe, Moshe Shapira, Zichron Baruch, used to say. What's the root of the word rotzon? Rats, to run. It's a driving force, a propelling force. Right, says the Nefesh HaChaim, you ever run out of steam? Yeah, you got to take something on, and yeah, you got to do something. You just don't have the strength to do it. Not the physical strength, not the emotional strength. Not the spiritual strength to take on what you got to do. What's your etzah? You hit a wall. Says Nefesh HaChaim, be makabel on yourself. The malchus, the old malchus, be makabel of the yoke, the old malchus regarding this thing that you need to do, you see that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give you koach. That malchus becomes keser. Malchus becomes rotzon. Being makabel on yourself, the responsibility gives new kochos. God-given kochos, and Nefesh HaChaim says, test me on this, try this, ever. Whenever you ever come to an impasse in life, you don't have the strength to go further, right? Accept upon yourself the responsibility, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will give koach. It's not about taking the 49th day of the Omer, where we hit the end. Right? It's there is one more step to take, but it's not a step like the first 48. The first 48 is to do whatever you can do. On the 49th, which is really on the border of infinity, right? And now why is the 50th infinity? But, you know, we had in this week's parasha, right? There's a very interesting halacha that we read, you know, Parshas Bahar, right? Follows the schematic of Sfiras Omer. What was that? Same schematic. Shemitah and Yovel, right? Seven Shemitahs, 49th year. The 50 years Yovel, right? And it's an amazing year, Yovel, right? Cosmic reset. All slaves go free. Everything, all transactions regarding, you know, your ancestral fields that were given to you when Yoshua divided out, everything goes back to reset, cosmic reset. Where we find Yovel earlier in the Torah, Parshas Mishpatim. But it's not mentioned by name, it's alluded to, right? By the Eved Nirtza, a guy says that, you know, he's not leaving. He likes slave mentality, right? Yeah, you know, he's not leaving his master. You know, so you puncture, you know, his, you know, by the mezuzah, you know, make a hole in his ear. And he says, Va'avado le'olam. Right? And now he serves this master, right, for le'olam. How long is le'olam? Yovel. The halacha is Yovel. So it's called forever, right? It's called forever, right? And if Yovel is next year, right, that's when he goes out. And that's it. And then he's forced out. You know. Right? The Eved Nirtza, Va'avod Olam, serves him forever. If he gets his ear pierced, that doesn't mean Chazal tells. You know. It's not to be taken, you know, forever. Till Yovel. Yovel's called forever. And if Yovel's the very next year, so he goes out. Depends how many years left till Yovel. And then this guy who's supposed to be a slave forever goes out. Right? Yovel's called forever. Because it represents really infinite power. It's like a whole nother world. It's a whole nother, and that's why it's cosmic reset. So I called forever, even though it's just the 50th year, but the 50th, you know, breaks through to infinite power. That's what the Yovel is, right? And that's it frees all the slaves. And it's called forever as far as Hilchos Avodim, that this guy has to go out, go back to his family, right, whether he likes it or not. Right. So the 49th, right? The Torah, you know, instructing us, and Am Yisrael did it in those days by saying Naseh V'Nishma, right? There is one more step to take, but it's not a step like the other 48. The first 48 was to take concrete steps forward, right? Because you have to do whatever you can do, right? The 49th day is about acknowledging that as many steps as you took, where you got to get to is infinitely ahead. So what do you got to do when you realize that? Right? You got to be makabel on yourself, O Malchus Shemayim, Malchus, right? O Malchus Shemayim, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam will give you the koach. Right? This is what the Mishnah says in Avos. Lo alecha hamlocha ligmor. Now, you don't have to finish. Avelo ata ben chorin liz bato mimena, but you're not free to, you know, be lackadaisical about it either. Right? You have to do as much as you can do. But I have infinite more to do. I have infinite more to do. Velo ata ben chorin liz bato mimena. You have to still do as much as you can. So what happens when you reach the point where you can't do no more? So you're makabo on yourself, the responsibility to do more, and then the Ribon Shel Olam finishes off for you. Right? And Ribon Shel Olam takes you, that final step away. So the koach to make it to the infinite comes from the Ribon Shel Olam. But you only get it under two conditions. First and foremost, you did whatever you can do. Right? That's step one. Do whatever you can do. Right? It's the first 48 days of the Omer. 49th day, different avoida. The 49th day is to be makabel o malchus shamayim. And that's, in that way, that is the connection between the 49th and the 50th. Even though 50 represents infinity, 49 is, you know, just the 49th. But the way you break through is by being makabel on yourself, right? To do whatever Ribon Shel Olam wants, right? And then he gives you the koach. But you only have the right to do it that way after you already did whatever you can do. You know, this was really the question of the Ben Rosha by the Seder night. He says, Ma avodah zos lachem. What's he asking? He says, the whole thing's pointless. Right? The whole thing's pointless is what he's asking. Right? You know, and you can, you know, look at the question from either way, right? Because there's another day that's not in the count of the Omer. Shavuos is not in the count. What's also not in the count? Right? First day, Pesach. It starts Mimocharas HaShabbos, the day after. It's very interesting how the Torah worded it. Mimocharas HaShabbos. Start the day after Pesach. Interesting way of phrasing it. Just say, 16th day of Nisan, Mimocharas HaShabbos, the next day. Don't start with it. The emphasis is, don't start with Pesach. Right? Because Pesach was a freebie. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out b'chesed, total chesed. Pesach still belongs to the first 26 generations of Ki La'olam Chasto, where we didn't earn our keep. We were still Memtas Shari Tumah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out anyway. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us anyway. Right? So the Ben Rosha asks on Seder night, what's the point? Ma avodah zos lachem. Ribon Shel Olam going to save us anyway. Right? So what's the answer? Leave it alone. Ilu haya sham lo ya nigal. It's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out even though we didn't deserve it on Pesach. Right? And that's why it's not part of the Omer. It doesn't, literally, it doesn't count. Literally, it doesn't count. Not in the count, it doesn't count. Right? Ribon Shel Olam is not, you know, Ribon Shel Olam does us favors all the time, but that's not what he values. That's not what he wants from us. He wants from us avoda. So he has ma avoda sahem. Ribon Shel Olam wants avoda. Ilu haya sham lo haya nigal. If he would have been in Mitzrayim, he wouldn't have been redeemed. Because even though Pesach was a big chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unearned, but it was on condition that the day after, you start earning. So, ilu ayasham loya nigal, if he would have been there, leave alo lo, ayasham loya nigal, because we brought it, it's true, he gave it for free, but only on condition that afterwards, he jumpstart you, afterwards you get to work. So that's why Pesach is not part of the count of the Omer, because the Omer is about the, you know, us doing ours. Right? But now you have another problem, you know, as many steps as you take, Torah is even further away. But that's what the 49th day of the Omer is about. And that's what it means. You know, the Sfarim weren't being cute when they said it's 48 days, Keneged the Memches, Tvarim Shator Nikras Bahem, 49th day, review it all. What does that mean, review it all? It means to be accepting of it. The avoda of the 49th day is to be accepting of the responsibility. Everything that the Torah entails, everything the Torah demands, no matter how hard, I'm in. In the merit of the acceptance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, he finishes off for you. That's what the pasuk says to him. Ekra lelokim elyon, lakel hagoymer olai. I cry to Hashem, who's elyon, he's infinitely above, but he's hakel hagoymer olai. He finishes things off for me. He finishes things off. Right? It's interesting halacha that parallels this. Pesach, even though in that generation it was for free. It's not for free ever since then. You got to clean. Right? All right. do a lot of cleaning. So it's interesting halacha that that the Sfarim see a great deal of philosophical significance. Now, let's say you have to check for chametz. Now you share a wall with your neighbor. Right. Your kid shtup chametz on your side of the wall. His kid shtup chametz on their side of the wall. Right. The wall's pretty thick. Right. So the halacha is ze bodek ad heichon shiado magas v'ze bodek ad heichon shiado magas. Everyone has to check as far as his hand could reach. Right. As far as your hand could reach into the wall, you got to check and see there's no chametz there. V'hashar mevat lo belibo. Whatever you can't reach, just annul it in your heart. Right. So the Sfarim, take a look at this halacha and they note the way you have to do as much as you can reach. And then the rest, just be mevat in your heart. HaKadosh will finish this off for you. Right. And that's the klal, right? We have to do whatever we can do, right? We only have the right to ask the Rebosh to finish off when it's literally just that. Just finish it off. Because you've really done all you can do. Right? And that's what happens, the great transition from 49 to 50. So the amazing thing is that the 50 is not plus one. Right? As I said, explain. The 50 is infinitely more. Right? Because that's the godless of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is not to get information, right, about what's written in black fire, white fire in heaven. It's to get at the thing itself, right? If we're just about getting information, we're no better off than Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They also knew what the Torah says, right? They kept the Torah for what was given, right? Rashi tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, min habema Torah, so mikan shalom Noach Torah. Noach knew the laws of kashrus. He knew which behemoths are kosher, which are not. So this one you have to take seven of, this one you only take, two of, right? We're no better off than all those earlier generations if it's just about getting information of Torah. They had the information already. The godless of Mount Torah is that the Torah itself, with all its infinite energy, came down, right, and became the legacy of this huge, huge vessel called the Jewish nation. And we had to wait until we had a nation, right? And that's what put, ever since Mount Torah, our mitzvahs are world shapers, right? And it's frightening as it might sound, but it's the truth, right? When we do mitzvahs, right, we change the world much more than Avraham Avinu did when he did these mitzvahs voluntarily, because he wasn't doing it with the koach of the tzivui of Torah. So he was a great man. As an individual, he was greater than any of us, right? But he didn't have the Torah. He didn't have the tzivui. He didn't have that divine power, right, behind his actions. That's an amazing thing. But we're talking about infinite power, and that's why you get infinite reward, like we explained. That's why you're playing with infinite energy when you do your mitzvahs, and that's why it makes an eternal difference. That's why you could get justfully, right, justifiably, eternal reward, right? But to get to infinity, right? So the klal is you have to do whatever you can do, and that's the first 48 days of the Omer, connected to 48 attributes that you need to acquire Torah that we're going to read about in this week's Perkei Avos. 49th day is all about re-accepting the responsibility. That's what it means, review it, re-accept it all. And then in the merit day, because in the 49th day, we've reached the barrier between the finite and the infinite. Right? The word mida means measure. What's gematria of the word mida? 49. Mem daled hey. It works, I'm sorry. It's true. It's 49. Right? The first 49, you're still within mida, right? You're within measure. The 50th is past that. It's beyond measure. Beyond measure. That's why it's not counted. That's what's represented by the Hakabalah. The only way to make the jump from measure to beyond measure, right, is with the acceptance of the responsibility. And in the merit that we accept the responsibility, the kabos, and that's the avodah of the 49th. That's what it means on this day, you don't take one more step. This day, you just deepen your commitment to all the steps. The deepening of the commitment is what we can do to merit that the Rebbe Shem helps us make the jump from mida to ein mida to Torah. It's called aruka merits mida, or coming out of the Torah, it's called longer than the earth, that could be measured, and wider than the ocean. It's in the merit of our acceptance of the responsibility. Right? In that merit of making a sincere acceptance on the 49th day, we can make the jump from measure to beyond all measure. Any questions? All right. I just sorted parsha sheets from different parsha shavua. I had some extra I brought with me. Everyone could feel free to take as many as you want from as many parshas as you want. And on the parsha sheet, there's a website you could subscribe to, and then you just get it emailed to you directly. Okay. Thank you very much.